the unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Hello, and welcome to our journey through October at the Journey Into podcast. I am your guide, Marshall Latham, and I'd like to start our journey this week with a double dose of episodes from the vintage radio program Lights Out. You know, one of the things we're the most afraid of is things that are beyond our control, that expand beyond our understanding, and threaten our very existence. To this end, I first present to you Chicken Heart.
This is Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual.
Do you remember some time ago in an Eastern scientific institution they kept a piece of heart alive for weeks on end? Well, I got to thinking, what if that heart began to grow? And grow, and grow, and grow.
Hello, operator. Give me Mr. Regan, fast. Hello, Mr. Regan. This is Lewis. Listen, get me a rewrite, man. The thing's still growing. No, Chief, I tell you the truth. The corridor's choked with living, crawling flesh. No, no, no. I'm not drunk. I'm telling you the truth. That little piece of flesh has grown until now. It's jamming that building. All inside the space of an hour. You've got to believe me. It's the greatest news story of the generation, and here you argue with me. I tell you, it's the truth. You've got to believe
me. You must believe me. I tell you, the only hope is to burn the building to the ground at once.
Now, wait a minute, Doc. Wait a minute.
Take it easy. I tell you, burn it to the ground. Burn.
And I tell you, take it easy. I sent in a call.
Oh, don't you understand? For some reason, I cannot even imagine. This tissue is doubling in size every hour. Do you know what that means? In another hour, it will be twice the size it is now. And long before that, it will break open the building with the force of its pressure. And then it will be free in the street. Do you hear me? Free in the street. And then those tentacles of protoplasm stretching out to feed on anything they can reach.
What's happening?
Forget it. See the walls. Cracking. I warned you. I warned you.
I tried to warn them. But now it is too late. The heart is free.
Gentlemen, 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 come to order, please. Gentlemen, please. Quiet, quiet, please, please. Please now, as mayor, no one realizes more than I do the necessity of immediate action in curbing this unspeakable, unbelievable emergency. And I assure you that
I... Cut the speeches, Mac. That blasted thing is spreading like a forest fire. Call the governor. Get the National Guard out.
Now, wait, wait. And wait, please, wait. Here is Dr. Alberts of the Research Institute. Let him speak. Step up here, doctor.
Do something.
Let's see what he says.
Gentlemen... It was in my institute this horror began. And if you give me a chance, perhaps I can stop it.
What is it, Doctor?
tell us first what that monster really is.
Yes. Yes, I will tell you. That great ever-growing mass of flesh, it is, or it was, a chicken heart.
Chicken heart? Are you crazy, man?
Chicken heart! Yes, yes, chicken heart, I tell you. Chicken heart! Listen to me, you fools! Let's have this man!
Everybody up there knows what he's talking about.
I tell you, that mass of flesh was a chicken heart, the tissue of which, for some reason, is undergoing constant, rapid, accelerating growth. With every passing hour, its growth is doubling. Do you know what that means? If it is now one block in size, within 30 hours, that cannibal flesh will have increased in size to one square block to the 30th power. In 30 hours, every inch of this whole city will be crushed under that moving flesh. Within 60 hours, it will have covered the entire state. Within 2 weeks, the entire United States. You ask for the National Guard. I say, call out the entire army. Blast this thing off the earth.
Ready, Keith? Pumpers are ready. All the hoses coupled up. We'll flood that thing with water from all angles.
All right, here's the signal. Open them up! Full blast!
Keith, look out! That flash is reaching out!
Get back, everybody! Everybody, back!
The fools, what good is water? I told them. The only hope is artillery. Bombs.
All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. All National Guardsmen, report to your armories. General mobilization order.
Battery in position, sir.
Commence firing on the hour.
Yes, sir.
10, 5, 0. Commence firing! Fire!
Useless. Grown too large, and it grows too quickly. The flesh is already engulfing the guns. They came too late.
You all right now, Dr. Alberts?
Yes. Yes, I'm all right, Mr. Lewis. I'm all right.
Well, I sure am glad I located you. I stalled as long as I could, another 10 minutes, and we couldn't have taken off. That blasted protoplasm, or whatever it is, was sucking at the wheels by the time we left the ground.
Yes, as I saw.
5,000 feet. Well, we'll cruise around up here for a few minutes and then head west.
It will do no good.
You can't mean it. It must stop growing sometime. It must.
Look at it down there. The gray blankets of evil covering everything. See how the roads are black with men and women and their children running for their lives. See how the protoplasmic gray reaches out and engulfs them. See.
Stop it! Stop talking like that. We'll get away. The government, they'll send bombing planes, poison gas.
No hope. Listen to me, Lewis. You remember only a handful of days ago you asked me my prophecy of the end of the earth? You remember my answer? Oh, such a scholarly prophecy. Cessation of earth rotation. Mighty sounding astronomical theories. But now, this is reality, Lewis. The end has come for humanity. Not in the red of atomic fusion. Not in the glory of interstellar combustion. Not in the peace of white, cold silence. But with that creeping, grasping flesh below us.
It is a joke, hey, Lewis. A great joke. The joke of the cosmos. The end of mankind.
Why?
Because of a chicken's heart.
No! No, we won't die. I can't die. I'll find a safe landing somewhere. I'll find a place. The motor, it's cut out. We're in a spin. I can't get out of it.
I told you. Doomed.
No. No.
All mankind. Doomed.
No. We're falling right into it. Into the heart.
Again, those scientists. They're always causing problems. They're always poking and prodding where they shouldn't be, or experimenting on things that they have no business doing. It's like Ian Malcolm said, that scientists are so preoccupied with whether they can that they don't stop to think about whether they should. Well, maybe this podcast will make a difference. Maybe it'll get through to them that they just can't mess with nature. It's going to be the end of us all. So to shed light on that again, come with me, and let's journey into the revolt of the worms.
Arch Obler bringing you another in our series of stories of the unusual. And once again, we caution you, these lights-out stories are definitely not for the timid soul. So we tell you calmly and very sincerely, if you frighten easily, turn off your radio now. And now, if you haven't already done so, turn off your lights now and listen to Revolt of the Worms.
All I can do is sit and think and wait. Wait for the floors to lift and the walls to crash. Facts. Think of facts. Yes, a journal of facts. Think how it began, why it's happening. Journal of facts until the walls crash in and the thick flesh. Charles Prentice. There's a fact. Chemist. And fool. Fool. Run away. Run away. Run away. Run away.
Run away from reality.
War.
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 Run away.
You mean we're going to live in this godforsaken place, Charles?
Yes, Claire, I remember. You did say that. And I said...
Of course we're going to live here. It's ideal for my work.
But we're so far away from everything, Charles.
So far away from what? Your friends? My friends?
All right, Charles. Whatever you say, Charles.
You never disagreed with me, did you, Claire?
Why, it's so quiet up here, it's almost as if we are out of this world.
Yes, I remember. Young Jackson, you did say that.
I like working with you, sir. Why, up here, it's almost as if we were out of this world.
Out of the world. I wanted to be out of the world.
Hide. Until it's over.
Yes, why not? Why not?
What are you going all the way up there for, Prentice? To do my work, of course.
But who cares about propagating new varieties of roses at a time like this?
The times have nothing to do with it. I'll do what I please. I'll do what I please.
But, Prentice, to leave suddenly like this, it doesn't make sense. Roses are fine in normal times, but a chemist of your ability, in times like these, certainly there's more productive work that you could do.
I'm not interested in your opinions. I'll do what I please. You hear me? Do what I please.
Do what I please.
Yes, sir. Everything's ready, sir. Greenhouse. All ready for you, sir.
1 week ago, Wednesday.
Does the wind always blow up here, Charles?
Eh?
I said the wind. Does it always blow like that?
Why?
Frightening.
Mighty less frightening than the things that are happening back in the city.
I suppose so.
I know so. Where's that boy? Jackson.
Yes, sir.
The phosphates, are they ready yet?
Not quite, sir.
Well, get them ready. Every one of the plants. We work late tonight.
Very late.
Work late and hard. That was the answer to everything.
Chemist of your ability. In times like these, there certainly must be more important work than propagating roses that you could do. A chemist of your ability. In times like these, there certainly must be more important...
No, wouldn't think of that, I told myself. Wouldn't think of that. Roses. Yes, develop the greatest rose in the world. That would be my answer to them. While they bombed and burned, I'd develop the largest rose the world had ever known. And when the world settled down again, I'd come back and bring the rose to them, and they wouldn't care if I had run away. My plan. Why did it go wrong? Claire, why did it go wrong? Claire... Oh. Dead. You're dead. They killed you. Dead as I'll be dead. If I could only think, why did it go wrong?
Well, I put the solution that's left over, Mr. Prentice.
Yes, I do remember. That was it.
Oh, gosh, Mr. Prentice, I'm trying to understand, but I'm so tired.
You must keep working. The only salvation is to work.
Oh, what's salvation got to do with roses?
Don't be impertinent. Do your work.
Yes, sir.
2 cc for each plant, and careful, don't let any of it touch the stem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You weren't very happy, were you, Jackson? Those were things you couldn't understand.
It isn't that I don't want to work, Mr. Prentice. It's just that I'm all mixed up. These roses. Why do I have to pour this stuff on them every hour, on the hour? It doesn't make sense. Hormones? Sure, I know what they are. Secretions from the glands in the human body. Sure, I know what they're for. Make us grow and everything. I get it. That's what you try to do with the roses. Make them grow fast and big. But how do you know these hormones will work on plants, Mr. Prentice? And how do you know how much to give them, and how big will the roses grow, Mr. Prentice?
Questions. Everlasting questions. But now I ask them, why did it go wrong?
Thursday.
Thursday? What do I remember?
Well, I throw the hormone mixture that's left over, Mr. Prentice. Mr. Prentice, I said, well, I throw the hormone...
No way! Can't you see that I'm working?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yes. I remember.
Friday.
What a Friday. Friday night.
Claire?
Yes?
Is that you?
Yes, Charles.
What are you doing walking out here in the dark?
It's a lovely night.
Romantic at your age.
I just like the night.
You women, come back to the house.
All right.
Crazy walking around in the dark?
That's old.
What's the matter with you? Can't you walk? If I hadn't caught you...
It's slippery.
What are you talking about?
It's all slippery around here.
Don't talk foolishness.
But it is.
By George. You're right.
What?
Stand still. I'll light a match. I had some... Yes. Now, we'll see what...
Charles.
Stop grabbing.
What?
Worm.
What?
Well, can't you see? Just ordinary earthworm. Mat crawlers. We just walked over a few of them. Now you women with your fears and your squeamishness. Walked on a few worms and you make more noise and more fuss.
Yes. I remember. Friday night.
The extra hormone solution. Where'll I throw it, Mr. Prentice? Mr. Prentice, where'll I throw the extra hormone solution?
Saturday. And then the night.
Jackson? Jackson, where are you? Jackson, I told you to stay in the house. Jackson, where are you? Time to feed the plants. Jackson, where are you?
Not here, Charles.
Claire, you startled me walking up like that.
I didn't mean to.
That infernal boy, where is he? Have you seen him?
He's not in the house.
But I told him not to go out. I told him only an hour ago he's got to work all night. The plants must be watered every hour on the hour.
He went out.
Well, why didn't you stop him? Oh, I have to go chase after him. Jackson! Jackson, are you out there? Come in.
What
did you think it was? Thunder. It's starting to rain. Shut the door. Shut the door, I say.
But the boy...
If he hasn't the sense to come in out of the rain, it's just too bad. I've got enough to do with worrying about my roses without worrying about him. And don't you go out after him. He'll come back. He'll come back.
Saturday night. And when it was day again...
Charles, wake up. Please wake up.
Oh, where?
You're on the couch. You fell asleep on the couch. Charles, get up right away.
Well, what's the matter with you? Why should I get up? What difference does it make?
Listen to me, please. The boy, he isn't back yet.
Huh?
Jackson, he isn't back yet. Charles, where can he be? The storm, you slept. I waited.
Wait a minute. Have you looked in his room?
I just came from there. Charles, where could he have gone to? All through the storm.
Oh, stop talking so much and let me get up. Let's go see. Oh. Must you follow me? Why didn't you wake me up? Why did you let me sleep?
I must have fallen asleep, too. I opened my eyes, it was day. Oh, Charles.
Oh, stop old Charlesing me. Crazy young fool, so he spent the night outside. So what's the difference? Teach him a lesson. Well, no wonder he isn't back yet. Fog like this, it's as bad as night.
Charles, Charles.
All right. What am I supposed to do? Go wandering through fog like a bloodhound, like a fool? Don't worry. He'll be back.
But you never did come back, did you, Jackson? When the sun came out and that everlasting wind came up and lifted the fog.
Charles, come here.
Where are you?
Back at the house, Charles. Come quick.
What is it? What do you want now? The boy isn't around. I've looked everywhere. Now,
what happened back here?
What?
Look at the ground.
Who plowed this ground up?
Plowed?
Yes, certainly plowed. Can't you see? Some crazy, drunken fool plowed up the ground.
But during the night? Charles, how could that be?
You believe what you see, don't you? It's that boy.
What?
Yes, that Jackson went crazy, found the plow, tore up the ground, and ran away. Went out of his mind, that's it. The boy's gone crazy, tearing up the ground. Gone crazy.
And then, that night, that same night after I thought Jackson had gone crazy, run away, I went back to my work Sunday night.
Charles, can I speak to you? Charles, please stop your work and talk to me.
Haven't you lived with me enough years to know I don't like to be interrupted when I'm working?
But I'm frightened.
Are you? Really?
Charles, stop it.
Are you out of your mind?
Yes, maybe I am.
What did you say?
Maybe I am crazy. All right, maybe I am. That's the only way I could have lived with you all these years.
What?
Endured your selfishness, your unbelievable selfishness.
Well,
everything's for you for 20 years, everything for you.
Now, that's enough.
Your work, your pleasures, what you think, what you want, everything for you, nothing for anyone else.
Will you
shut up? The little Mr. Prentice, the scientist, the good husband who never lifts his voice. Mother in heaven, I'd rather be married to a fool with a heart in him than you.
Well, then...
You haven't got a heart. You never had a heart. It's you, and no one else, and that boy can be dead out there and you don't care, and I can be dead and you don't care as long as you're safe and doing what you want to do.
Will you go away and let me go on with my work?
Charles, I'm fighting that boy. Now there are noises.
I'm asking you for the last time to go away and let me do my work.
But listen to me. You've been out here all night. I've been in the back of the house alone, and I've been listening, and I didn't want to come in here, but I had to. Charles, things I said, I meant them. For years, I've meant them. All right, that doesn't matter. But I tell you this, there's something outside the house. Find out what it is, Charles.
20 years ago, I thought you were an irrational woman. I thought I'd trained you out of that irrationality. I was wrong. I'll humor you just this once, but never again. Where are these noises?
At the back of the house.
The lantern, hand it to me.
Yes.
Thank you. You're frightened. You don't have to go with me.
I want to know.
What? That you're a fool? Well? So what am I supposed to hear? There's nothing. Hello out there! Hello! Well, what now?
Listen.
To what?
Listen.
To what?
I thought...
You heard the wind whistling through the cracks in your brain. Come into the house.
Charles, wait.
Wait for...
Here?
Yeah. So what? Give me the lantern. If it's that boy...
It could be him, couldn't
that
it?
That crazy young fool playing practical jokes. If I get around the corner of the house and... What's going on here?
Charles, something moving under the ground.
Yeah. So dark. Can't quite make out.
Charles, what is this?
I don't know. Animal of some sort?
Take me back to the house.
Oh, go yourself. Moon will come out of the clouds. See what this is.
Give me the lantern, Charles.
No, I want to see. The house is back there. Turn around and go back to it. Go ahead.
All right.
Yes. It is something burrowing. The infernal moon come out, I'd see there. coming out. Now I'll see what... Holes. Holes in the ground all over. What are they? Who? Bomb crater? But that isn't possible. No. Animal burrows. But what animal could make a hole 4 feet across? What animal...
Claire! Where are you? Claire! It's so dark, I can't see you. Claire! Where are you? Claire! Claire! Where are you? Claire!
Yes, Claire.
Claire!
I ran through the night looking for you. The echo of my voice is still in my ears. Looking for you, and the moon was under the clouds, and I couldn't see and I couldn't find you. And then I did. You had fallen into one of those craters, into one of those holes in the ground. I couldn't see you, but I could hear you. But which one of the holes? They were all over, ground pockmarked with them. I ran around in the dark. I could hear you, but couldn't find you. And then the moon, it was out again. Oh, blast the moon. Why did it come out? If it hadn't come out, I wouldn't have seen. And my head... Stop it, stop it, stop it, Claire, stop it. I can still hear you. I can still see you. Your body down in that hole. As I ran toward you, suddenly I saw that something else was coming toward you. Something that glistened, wet in the moonlight. Something long and slimy. A great twisting snake. Yet not a snake. Not a snake. And the fear in me made me fall to the ground, and I saw as I lay there, I saw. The thing moved toward the hole in the ground as if you weren't there. As if it were blind and couldn't see. Like a great blind worm. It was a worm. A worm, 10, 20, no, 30 feet long, crawling in fright to its home in the ground. And it moved toward you, Claire. Covered you. Crushed you. You're dead, Claire. You've been dead for 2 days. Why should I tear out of my memory all the horror of how you died? Of how young Jackson must have died.
Well, I saw the extra hormone solution, Mr. Prentice.
Yes. That's very funny, isn't it, Jackson? I ran away and I was going to bring back to the world the greatest rose. But I brought back the greatest worms. The hormones you threw away soaked into the ground, and into them, hundreds of little worms burrowing under the ground, soaking into their flesh, into their life process, miraculously increasing the growth of them until overnight they grew and grew without limit into those terrible horrors. And they are still growing. I can hear them for the last 2 days squirming around the house and over it, great monstrous pieces of slimy flesh squirming and writhing, hundreds of them, thousands of them, burrowing under the ground and at night coming out of the ground. I have seen them, a sea of flesh, a sea of worms. Yes, I hear you out there, you worms. You were under the ground, and now there's no room underground for you, so you've come out of the ground. The world was yours first, so now you're going to take it back again. The world for the worm. You're under the house. You're lifting it. The walls will fall and crush me, and I'll be dead, and I want to be dead. Yes, now I know why this is happening to me. I thought I could run away from the world and what is happening in the world. You hear that, you worms out there? I thought I could run away. No.
Just sit here and wait. Wait for them. I know how I'll die. The walls falling, crushing.
Ooh.
Window. Something behind me. A worm at the window. Head looking in. He's crawling in. And another following. And another. They're filling the room. Worms all around. The worms. The worms. Worms covering, cold flesh, wet flesh, worms, the worms, covering, the worms,
Sorry about the audio quality at the end there. I tried to make it better, but some of these older files just have a lot of artifacts in them. But what I like about these pieces is that it's kind of an age-old gimmick to take something that's small and harmless and make it bigger, and then it's a threat. I don't know. I couldn't tell you how many stories I watched as a kid. Black and white movies of giant spiders, giant ants, giant this, giant that. If you take Godzilla, for example, you know, giant moths, giant caterpillar, same thing. But something happens to something small and they become giant, and then they become a threat. But even something like worms, they're not monster worms with teeth that are trying to eat you. But yet, if they were giant and you were, you'd get squished and suffocate. It would be quite a horrifying experience. Well, that's our journey through fright this week. Next week, the story will be a little bit more personal in a flash story written by Chris Monroe. But before I leave today, I'm going to leave you with a little comedy piece by Bill Cosby that has direct reference to the Lights Out radio show, and in particular, the Chicken Heart. It's quite funny, and I wanted to share it with you. So I'll close out, and then I'll let Mr. Cosby finish it off. So until next week, journey on, Alfred. Journey on, Edgar. The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means you can share it with whoever you like. Just don't change it or sell it. Theme music for today's production is brought to you by Man in Space and Soundtracks for the Non-Existing Movies.
I'm 7 years old, standing up in my crib. I kept falling out of the crib. I really, you know, I mean, they gave me a bed, but I kept falling out of it. And I'm standing up there. My parents are going out, see, and they're just walking back and forth. We live in an apartment building. It's only one bathroom. And there's my bedroom, then my parents' bedroom. And they have to pass by my bedroom in order to get to the bathroom. And if the door's open, I can see them. And I know they're going out because they keep bumping into each other, you know. Boom, jam, boom, get out of the way. Boom, where's my sock? I don't wear them, you know. So, this is before babysitters, when parents did not believe in babysitters at all. You know, the philosophy was, what? Let some stranger look after my kid? I'd just as soon leave him home by himself. So I'm standing up in the crib, and they both come up, you know. And now, the whole thing to them is that they have to scare me to make me stay in the bed, see? They tell you some kind of a lie. That's what the parents used to do. There's a green monster out the door. If you get out of that bed, he'll eat you right up, you know. So, I said, now, don't get out of the crib, please. See, my father, I love my father's approach. It was basic. Stay in the bed. That's all, you know. Stay in the bed, see? I knew how to answer him. I will. And that was it. You know, he'd go, and then I'd jump out of the crib, you know. Papa's beautiful, but mothers, they give you a half out. Stay in the crib because your life is important to this and that. Oh, yes, I've heard that before. But my old man would just come up, stay in the bed. Right, Dad. And he'd leave. He said his piece, you know. So now my mother comes in. I don't get out of the crib. Yes, Mother, I'm tired anyway. I'm going to sleep. The Sandman's beating me to death. And I'm so tired. Pardon me for not seeing you to the door, but I'm just tired. I'm telling you right now, don't get out of that crib. Now, the last time you got out of the crib, you went in and listened to that radio and heard that awful Lights Out program, and it scared you so bad that you smeared Jell-O all over the kitchen floor to make the monster slip if he came at you. And your father went into the kitchen to get a drink of water, slipped and hurt himself. Now, to make sure that you don't get out of this crib, we've placed over 100 black poisonous snakes around your crib. And if you so much as put a toe out there, they're going to bite you, you're going to swell up and be dead until morning. I don't see no snakes. They're invisible. And she left. Boom. Boy, I'm telling you right now, I'm so sick of this place, I'm going to run away from home. They're always putting black snakes. Anyway, the Philco radio was about 6 feet tall, had 287 knobs on it, of which only two worked, off on volume and the station selector. The extra knobs were if you'd lose one, you could replace them right away. You don't have to go to the store. And I love to get scared to death. Anything that would scare me to death, I loved it. I loved Frankenstein, a Wolfman, and a mummy so much. I used to sit right up front. And then they would come at me, and I would squish myself into the orchestra pit. I hid all over the place. I'm telling you, I had pictures of them all over my house. Never looked at them. Was scared of them. And there were three programs that were scary. One was suspense. That wasn't too scary. That was suspenseful. Then there was Inner Sanctum, where the guy played the organ. And then he would come in, good evening, and he was so happy to scare you to death. And he opened that door, and then he told you a weird story about his Uncle Harry who had lost his hip bone or something like that. Oh, man. But what really scared me was when he closed the door. At the end, I knew somebody was in the house then, and I started smearing that Jell-O. No monster gonna get near me with that Jell-O on the floor. I've tripped up many a monster with that Jell-O on the floor. Yes, sirree, Bob. And now, I got my radio, I turn it on. You gotta wait maybe 8 days. It'll heat up, you know, it does. Spidey, you got one. And then I just, there's good news. Good evening.
That's the guy. Go ahead, scare me to death. I'm ready. I'm ready. Scare me, man. Come on now.
And welcome to Lights Out.
Yeah. Go ahead, scare me. I was dumb enough to do whatever the guy said to do on the radio.
Turn your lights out.
Yeah, all right, yeah. They're out. Go on, scare me to death. I'm ready.
Tonight's episode is about a chicken heart. A chicken heart that ate up New York City.
Yeah, go chicken heart. Go get him. Eat him up, chicken heart. Scare me to death. I'm ready.
The chicken heart was kept alive in a laboratory in a vat. Special solution. Half blood, half sodium, so that's right. One day, a careless janitor knocked the vat over. He went to get a rag to clean it up. The chicken heart grew. 6'5". And in search of human blood. The janitor came back, opened the door. The heart ate him up.
What?
Go get him, chicken heart. Go get him.
It moved out into the hallway. Rang for the elevator.
Fourth floor. Ah!
Go get him, chicken heart. Go get him. You will.
Moved out into the street. Ate up all the cabs.
Beep, beep.
The Empire State Building. Ate up the Jersey Turnpike. It's in your home state. It's outside of your door. And it's going to eat you up.
Oh, I got my Jell-O star smearing it all over the floor. Get out of here, chicken heart! I set the sofa on fire. You won't come near smoking fire and Jell-O. My father came in the house and what? What the hell's the sofa doing on fire? Come in the house, the chicken heart's gonna eat you up. Hurry up, okay? Zip. What chicken heart are you talking about? The one on the radio. Chicken the idiot, turn it off.
I hadn't thought of that. For 2 years, anybody that passed by our house, my father, whether he knew him or not, would call him in.
Hey, come here, I want to show you my dumb kid. Go on, tell him how you burned up a $100 sofa and broke your father's arm to save us from that.